Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Author Chats. I'm Elizabeth Kelly. Today we are glad to have with us Lisa Lawler, who is the author of an important and much needed book titled The White Collar Wives Survival Guide. Welcome, Lisa.
Elizabeth, thank you for having me on your program this morning.
Thank you for joining us, and thank you for writing this book. Lisa, tell our listeners who you are, what your story is, and why you wrote this book.
Well, my story is one that's like so many others, as I'm learning. 10 years ago, my husband, ex-husband now, embezzled $2.5 million from his employer and went to jail for that. Kind of left us all pretty flabbergasted. And I started blogging just to vent, for one thing, and another, in hopes of finding other women like me. And there were four of us for a very long time. These four women reached out, and then there were a dozen, then two dozen, and now we're up to about 100 members across the globe. So we're all kind of in the same boat of shock, suffering from the acute fallout, both socially, as you read from the book, but also legally.
It's now, a few moments ago, you mentioned the substantial sum that your husband was charged and ultimately convicted of embezzling. The average person, when he or she hears this type of story, thinks, how could she not have known? What's your response?
Yeah, I actually wrote a blog piece about that. My response to that, Elizabeth, is that, you know, these guys are master manipulators, and they're able to get away with these schemes for so long because they are manipulators. So if they can do that, if they can pull off these egregious crimes, it's really not a far reach for them to pull the covers over their wives' heads. A lot of these guys make very good livings. So additional money's coming in go unnoticed. You know, and for the most part, I don't know of any wife or husband that when their spouse comes home from work says, so how'd your day go? You know, did you rip anyone off? There's any number of ways to hide this. My ex has had a mistress, and you know, I had no idea what was happening until, of course, after the fact. You know, that money's hidden away. It is squandered away, but it is also hidden from wives. So, you know, in the case of Ruth Madoff, you know, that's a true witch hunt. Everyone assumes she knew. This man was making billions of dollars. How is she supposed to know that, you know, an extra $500 million was coming their way? It's just really impossible to tell. But that's not to say that there are not wives that know. Of course there are. But are they complicit? No, I don't think so.
The title of your book is The White Collar Wives. Can the principles that you discuss in your book be applicable to husbands? And aren't there women who commit white collar crimes or are charged with committing white collar crimes?
Absolutely. It's identical. You know, these perps are investigated. Mostly they're convicted. They go to jail or prison. And all of those repercussions, civil asset seizure and forfeiture, tax issues, you know, illegal gains are also taxable, whether you knew about them or not. So, yeah, an innocent spouse is not just a wife, can be a husband, of course. And, again, the repercussions are the same for all.
If you've just tuned in, we're talking with Lisa Lawler, who is the author of a book titled The White Collar Wives Survival Guide. And Lisa, how can listeners obtain a copy of your book?
Easily. They can go to Amazon and purchase it there for Kindle. And as I understand it, I think you don't just have to have a Kindle. I think you can download it down to any tablet. It's pretty simple. Or they can contact me through my website, and I'm happy to sell them the PDF directly.
And your website is very, very content rich. Can you tell the listeners a little bit about the site and, of course, what the address is?
Sure. It's the whitecollarwivesproject.org. And, of course, we have our landing page there, which talks about who we are, what we do, mostly about me because it's my website. I've got testimonials there about women who have written in to say, thank you for doing what you're doing. I had no idea there was any, you know, resource out there like this. It's kind of a guide to others, one, to know that they're not alone in this, and two, to gain information. And that's what they want. They crave information. Even those women who are still in denial, they want to know, you know, what are we looking at? You know, what lies ahead for us? And so hopefully this is a resource for them.
Sure. And it's important to give a disclaimer that as much as you know about the system and as helpful as you are not a lawyer. And you are very careful about not giving legal advice. And the book emphasizes, if you will, the human costs on the family of someone charged with a white-collar crime. That being said, several moments ago, you mentioned a term that is very common in white-collar cases, civil forfeiture. Very briefly describe what this is and how it can impact the spouse and the family.
Well, civil asset seizure and forfeiture came along through, is my understanding, RICO issues for racketeering, drugs. And one of the things the government would do in their arsenal to combat this was to seize everything, you know, to get all of that money off the street and under the guise of, you know, preventing other crimes from happening. But somewhere along the way, it transferred over to white-collar crime. And, of course, in white-collar crime, as you know, there is racketeering that goes on. There's all kinds of things that go on. So that was kind of an easy transfer. But what happens is, even before an indictment comes, the feds can come in and seize everything through what they call a TRO, which is a temporary restraining order. So they basically kind of arrest the property in rem. And you're an attorney, you can explain that, which means they separate the property from their owners, the husband and the wife, as joint owners. And they hold that property, one, for restitution in the event that there is a conviction, and there usually is, or punitively. But there's no recourse. There's usually no warning. It's just gone in an instant. You know, it's jarring. So wives are dealing with the shock and awe of their husband being investigated and or prosecuted, but they're also dealing with the loss of everything. So it's a daunting process to have to experience all the way around.
Can you describe for our listeners, if you were involved in your husband's search for an attorney and what your relationship ultimately was with your husband's attorney?
That's a really interesting question. I remember when my husband sat me down to say that he had done this and he was going to be investigated or going to prison for the rest of his life. It was shocking. And he said, what I need now, I really need you to help me find an attorney. Well, we were separated at the time and my wife's instincts kicked in and said, oh, absolutely. And I went to sit at my computer and I had no idea what I was doing or what I was looking for or why. And thank goodness, moments later, he got on the phone and found someone. This turned out to be not his long-term attorney because after 2 years of investigation and after 2 years of my husband saying, please let me come in and plead guilty, the attorney general of Massachusetts kept saying, nope, we're not ready. They ended up arresting him after he had moved 2 years later to where my son and I had moved, and it was shocking. It was ridiculous for them to arrest him after all that time and after he had said, I'll turn myself in. So the new guy he hired was Brad Bailey, who is a phenomenal defense attorney, former prosecutor, And he and I worked closely. It's normally not recommended. Normally you want to let an attorney work one-on-one with his client, but there are
letters
of support. Yeah, there are letters of support that a wife can eat. Well, not easily. It's hard to get people, family, or friends to say, look, my husband's a crook. Can you write nice things about him? And it goes to the question of, you know, I've been watching Michael Cohen this morning. I've lied, but I'm not a liar. I'm a really good guy, which we hear this often from wives. I'm a really good guy. I just did really bad things. So that also begs the question of where do you draw the line? You know, I was watching the TED Talk on one of the Columbine mothers, and she said, you know, my son was a really good kid, only, you know, he did bad things. So that question always fascinates me, you know, when good people do bad things. Where is that line?
Yeah, and it underscores the complexity of human beings. Can you describe for our listeners the confidential relationship between your husband and Mr. Bailey? And can you also tell us if you ever contemplated getting your own counsel?
Good questions. Their relationship, of course, you know, he was in jail during the pendency of his trial plea. So it was difficult for them to meet on a regular basis. But it's my understanding that yeah, Brad would either come out to the jail or they would speak by phone. My ex was very forthcoming about what he had done, which made, you know, Brad's job easier. But I'm sorry, what was the second part of your question?
If you ever contemplated getting your own attorney?
You know, I never did, because in those days, I didn't know what I didn't know. So I knew I had no exposure. You know, I certainly had no idea that the tax man was coming, and that was way down the road. But no, I had no exposure, so it never crossed my mind. And I divorced early on, so there was never any threat of seizure.
Okay. You mentioned the tax man a few moments ago. Tell us about your relationship with the tax man and what your strategy was.
Well, that was a shock. My ex had been hauled off to jail, and 4 months later, got into my mail and got a bill from the tax man for $384,000. And I was shocked, and I was angry all over again. And I thought, oh, no, this can't be happening. So I called the agent whose name was on the letter, and said, I don't owe you this money. And they said, well, we can assure you that you do. And I said, you know, how can I have
this is not a typo.
That weren't reported? Yeah, how can I report funds that were not, you know, reported to me? So it took about 6 months. I had a lot of paperwork to go through, a lot of agent interviews, and in the end, I was granted innocent spouse status. But for some, very difficult. And, you know, I think that you can go through this without an attorney, but I don't recommend it.
Okay. And what about an accountant?
No, no need for an accountant. Our assets had been divided during our divorce. So for me, you know, it just wasn't necessary.
All right. Well, Lisa, you have been tremendously interesting and helpful to talk to. And once again, tell our listeners how they can get a copy of your book.
They can get the White Collar Wives Survival Guide through Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com, plug in the White Collar Wives Survival Guide, or visit my website, thewhitecollarwivesproject.org. And there's a page there where you can either leave me a note to order the PDF, or you can email me at lawlerlisa1@gmail.com.
All right. Thanks so much for joining us here on Author Chats, and thank you to all of my listeners. Please remember, injustice anywhere threatens justice everywhere. Have a good day.
Thank you, Elizabeth.